another paper I wanted to ask you about and actually briefly touch on the topic of mesothelioma was a study that you were part of looking at, quote, a National Mesothelioma Virtual Bank. Can you talk a little bit about that effort and where we are right now with mesothelioma?
It's very important for orphan diseases that material be available to as many investigators as possible so that new discovery can occur. So through the University of Pittsburgh, that actually won an award from the CDC originally, a group of us participated with University of Pittsburgh and have banks of mesothelioma tissue as well as serum and pleural effusion that we've all used for our own studies that now we've combined and done it in a formal way such that we can entertain proposals from individuals. We've already fulfilled one of those, and we have another one that we're doing right now, in which they request, say, to look at a certain gene, and then we'll look to see what they want, whether they want paraffin or fresh frozen, and then we'll get out of our archives whatever they need and send it to them, and then they can do it. It's a very important effort.
Totally. I think it's incredible. I love it.
But this is just the beginning. There are other foundations, as a matter of fact, that I'm involved with that are trying to do this also, because it's very difficult when you have a government-sponsored situation or individual investigators to try and get a hold of specimens. I think in a foundation setting where groups of individuals can work together and then freely donate the stuff, it may work just as well. And we're looking into that for lung cancer.
The other thing I've noticed or I've been hearing, and it kind of makes sense, you know, I've talked to a lot of patients about this, is that they like the idea of translational research. It makes sense to patients. So I'm curious. I assume that the patients that you've talked to about this like it.
Wherever I've been, we have always had a tissue procurement protocol, which is the beginnings of doing translational sort of stuff. And very frankly, in my experience, either I approach the patient or I have a nurse practitioner or I have a research assistant approaching the patient. I mean, the ability to accrue to trials like that and to get the tissue, which is the beginning, is in the neighborhood of 92 to 93%. It's very few individuals who will say, sure, you can use the blood. It's all anonymized. Nobody will know whose blood it is or whose tissue it is, and the tissue will not interfere with the pathology diagnosis. That is a rich resource, and that's why I really would like to see this expanded in some way, but it's expensive, and surgeons who do it are either funded or have some way of archiving the tissue, but it's incredibly important, and we need it because we don't want to make mistakes. We want to have validation. So if we discover a gene in one cohort, we want to use somebody else's cohort, completely separate state or some other place, to show that it's the same gene and it has the same effect. So it's very important that we amass this in very robust ways with good demographics.
So, Harvey, I have a dream, but I don't know if it'll ever occur, where every single cancer patient in the United States has their tissue and sera banked.
I would love to see that. It gets into the idea of registries.
Right.
We now have the informatics. If we can do the human genome and we can look at millions of SNPs, then we ought to have a way that we can log this information in a web-based fashion so that we can communicate with each other. We do it already with gene arrays. We have 50,000 genes. Results are posted on the web. Investigators can go into there and look at the genes. Well, why not collect the tissues, have the demographics, and then be able to share these in some way? And I think it would require funding, but it's sort of one of those things where you lobby for, maybe through the DOD, but to try and get funding for it.